Life Enthusiast Co-op Podcast, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Let's join our hosts, Scott Patton and Martin Batella, now. Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Podcast, online radio at its best, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with Martin Batella. Martin, how are you doing this fine, sunny summer day?
Oh, it's so beautiful, and I wish I were out there. Instead, I've been taking phone calls from these people with chronic disease, I tell you. I mean, it's so gratifying to be talking to people who are getting better, but, man, I want to have a week by the lake.
Well, and you live very close to a number of very beautiful lakes, too, don't you?
Oh, totally, yes. It's very easy. All I have to do is get on my bike. Oh, sorry, somebody stole my bike.
Oh, and, no.
Oh, yeah, terrible. I can't even believe it. You know, I live in a townhouse complex, and should be safe. Isn't. I left my bike in the carport, and somebody needed it more than I did.
And they didn't return it.
Oh, no. No,
oh,
I'm sad about that. So, but anyway, so, yeah, I'm by lakes, easily to get out there and put my feet in a beautiful warm water.
Hmm. Well, before we went on the air, we talked a little bit about some of the stories that, or some of the adventures you've had in the last few days, and I thought that we would take a quick break from our health education series, and because I thought it's important, I think, for people to have hope. And you've talked to a 77-year-old lady and a couple other.
Yeah.
Elderly ladies, and they've had some amazing results just by looking after their health. And I thought it would be maybe a good time for us to, particularly since it's fresh in your mind, to kind of talk a little bit about some of these we'll call case studies, because I think oftentimes people who have chronic diseases or they're low energy, they, you know, tend to give up. And we want to really give everybody hope, because you don't have to be sick.
No, you don't have to be sick to get better. And we would love to get to you before you actually are desperate.
That's right.
Because, you know, most people think pain-free is good.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, like, but that's like, you know, on your speedometer on your car, you know, where 60 miles is up at the middle.
Yeah.
You know, that's your cruising speed. You think everything's fine. But there's still... That's only halfway to the end, right? You can swing it way over to the right. It's all that territory that's available to you.
And same that's an exciting place to live, too, isn't it?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice to be as healthy as 150 miles an hour would feel like?
Well, you know, it's interesting. A friend of mine bought a Porsche.
It's like a
1970-something Porsche, right?
Yeah.
And we were on the highway and stopped at a red light. And so he's the first, you know, he's the first car, and there's a car beside us. Turns green, vroom, and I'm listening to the car. It's not working hard at all, right? Like my car, if it was going that fast, I mean, it would be making noise. And he's just cruising along, and he decides to go to turn from the left, move from the left lane into the right lane. So he shoulder checks, right?
Yes.
And I laughed at him. I said, "You left that guy like, he's a mile behind you, and you're shoulder checking." He says, "Well, you always have to have good driving habits, Scott." And I just howled, right? But yeah, I mean, our lives, I mean, we're all Porsches and Ferraris, right? And what's the point of driving them around and having them in the condition of, you know, a 1965 Volkswagen Beetle or something, right, that just butts along?
Yes, that's the sort of metaphor I was going for.
Okay.
So anyway, this lady, she's 77, she calls back and she says, "You know, I have wanted to give up so many times. Mm-hmm. I have been bedridden and pained and I was just awful for like 15 years. And she says,
"Wow.
6 weeks on your program, I'm moving around, I'm cleaning my house, I have my energy back, I have full will to live. I am so expectant of great things."
Nice. Wow, that must have felt good to talk to her.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The other one, I think I'm building myself a harem of older ladies all around America.
Right.
You know, this gal from North Carolina, you know, 68 years old, and And she says, you know, I'm feeling good. I was always looking good, but I'm feeling good. And I'm interested in just going and having a relationship again. And, you know, like, I'm into life.
Nice.
I'm thinking, well, I hope that she's not coming over here.
Well, and you're happily married, right?
I'm certainly happily married. That's why I'm hoping that she's not coming over here.
That's great.
But anyway, so yes, this happens time and again. And I somehow, you know, once you get good at something, people that need to find you more often.
Yes.
So I keep getting calls with metal toxicity, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, Lyme disease, you know, all these chronic syndrome type of conditions that doctors clearly don't know what to do with.
Right.
I just got off the call before we started with a woman. She says, well, I've been diagnosed with a Lyme disease, and my doctor, you know, my caregiver said, well, listen, why don't you try these for a while, see how you do on it. And she says, you know, they want to experiment on me, my body, with the stuff they don't have a clue about, but, you know, are willing to, for me, to give it a try to see how it works.
Okay, let's go back to our Porsche example. So just imagine you've got a Porsche and you drive up to the gas station and you say, you know, I need some gas. And the attendant's got a hose and he says, well, let's try this and see how it works. What would you do? Right? You'd be like, get away from my car. What is that stuff, and what do you think it's going to do? Well, not sure, but, you know, let's check tomorrow and see if your car runs or not.
Yeah, well, even a better metaphor than that would be saying, you know, I hear some squeaky noises from the car's engine, and the guy would say, well, listen, I got some belts here. I don't know which car they're for, but try it in yours, see if it works.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's more like that. And anyway, so she's had several years of real bad, and I told her, I expect you to be feeling better in 2 weeks. If not, then we need to modify the program, and then you'll be better in 6 weeks, and I want you dancing in 3 months.
Wow.
And that's pretty much the expectation these days.
So we're not talking about going on the prescriptions for 7 years to maybe see if you feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I remember my own experience having gone to the doctor with my allergies. And he says, well, take Sudafed. And I said, well, is that going to fix it? He says, no. How long do I need to take it for? He says, for the rest of your life. What a joke.
Yeah, there's no fixing anything, is there?
Well, I have no allergies anymore. You know, like, I'm allergy-free, have been for several years now.
Right. I meant from the perspective of the prescription drugs.
Yeah. They have only a slope that heads only downwards. Because there are no drugs. They can heal you. Your immune system can heal you.
Right.
So the only tools they have are things to block function of something else. I mean, they don't have any tools that nourish, build up, strengthen. All they have is tools that block something.
Mm-hmm. So you don't feel the pain. Doesn't mean you don't have it, right?
That's right. Or, you know, you have high blood pressure. Well, we stop that thing that makes your blood pressure higher. Well, you haven't fixed anything. It's sort of like wedging a piece of wood under your gas pedal so you can't go all the way down to the floor, right?
Yeah, right. That's funny.
Yeah.
So the other thing we discussed before we came on the air was I noticed that we've run out of zoetine, one of the excellent superfoods. And, of course, that's because we make small amounts of it so that it's always really fresh. And one of the questions I had, and oftentimes, folks, I have these questions for Martin, and I start asking him these questions before we get on the air, and then afterwards we say, oh man, that's such good information, we should have recorded it for our show. So this time I said, like, here's my question, Martin, and I'm thinking we should, you know, have a special kind of break from our series just to answer this question, because I think it's a really interesting question. I'm really curious about the answer. And that, of course, is, you know, how do they actually produce the superfoods? Because I think there's a big difference between how the super, like the excellent superfoods are created compared to some of the greens that you can get at the health food stores or the grocery stores. And I'd really like to kind of delve into that a little bit more.
Right. Well, so the primary difference is that the milling is done in small batches through with small equipment. We don't, you know, we don't have a $50,000 machine. We have a $2,000 machine, and it's operating essentially about a tablespoon at a time. You know, we're feeding the seeds into this milling thing. About, you could put about two fingers in it. That's the size of it. Every Exula product that you get has been taken through this two-finger-wide opening in this machine that slowly mills it down to very fine powder.
Wow.
And then, you know, so that's the milling part, and then there's the blending part. You know, you have to very carefully come up with blends that mill correctly. Like, for instance, if you were to take something like dried parsley, that's that's a very fluffy kind of a thing. You know, if you try to mill it by itself, it just won't mill at all. And on the other end of the extremes, you would have something like raspberry seed or flaxseed. Those are very oily things.
Right.
And if you try to mill that by itself, then that would just create this thick goo and gum up everything. So the boys at the shop need to very carefully create these pre-mixes that will have the right consistency to put it through the equipment.
And so they'll put, say, the flaxseed through, or maybe the barley or parsley, and then they'll have like a bunch of that ground up, and then they've got to measure that out, how much of that goes into each bottle of Zoetine or Exula 50 or Iridesa. Is that
right? Yeah. That's the idea. So the Iridesa, there's a library, they call it the library, of 240 ingredients.
Right.
So they're pulling out of the library and they make chapters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's the probiotic chapter, or there's the antioxidant chapter, or there's the fiber chapter, or and so on. So they pull these together and they create these intermediate steps. And then from these chapters, they make these different stories, the books, where, you know, in case of the Zoetine, it's orchestrated to help people lose weight and to feel energized. So that product has quite a bit more of the chapter on essential fatty acids and fiber and, you know, nutritional high-end calories. So that has to go through more work on that end, as opposed to, the Strataflora, which is a digestive product, that has more in the probiotic and all of that end of the spectrum.
Yeah, stuff for the stomach to create a good atmosphere for digestion, right?
Yes. So, you're wondering what that whole setup is. Well, I think there are about four or five people currently working in the shop. And there's a whole lot of milling and a whole lot of tumbling.
Mm.
After it's milled, it's thrown together, and you need to tumble it in the drum.
Yeah, mix it all together so that you've got
a consistent powder. And then they need to sift it. So the sifting, you know, takes it down to a consistent particle level. So anything that's bigger than the desired size, it needs to go back and be reblended.
Wow.
So typically they're making a batch of a product in about 3 days. You know, like a Zoetine is about 3 days to make in the shop. Whole bunch of milling, then a whole bunch of blending, whole bunch of sifting, And then finally it's ready and gets weighed out in the bottles, labeled and boxed and shipped.
Wow, that's amazing. And then as you and everybody working learn more things or discover new things, you make changes to the formula.
Right, yeah, these formulas are fairly stable, but they do get adjusted. We have, you know, in the last few years, we have made a great connection with a seed company, so we have changed some of the balances and how we use the seeds. We also made a connection with the Canadian hemp industry, and so we started using the hemp oil and hemp protein powder in the blends, which previously we didn't used to have.
And there was a difference on, is it salva seed?
Yes.
We were talking about that, and we found there was a white one versus a black one? Or
yeah, right. Yeah, the salvia hispanica, which is known as the chia seed, the staple food of the Aztecs, it's a non-gluten carbohydrate that's very rich in protein and essential to fatty acids. But there's this one company that has selectively bred the white chia, Alba. So they call it Salba, and we switched to using that because it's about by 30% better. It's a bit higher price, but it sure is a wonderful product to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed a difference too.
So as far as why is it that we managed to run out? Well, you know, the lineup is, you know, the production is not infinitely wide. It's sort of like a rush hour in the shop. If we, you know, we can only put so many bottles through it.
That's right. It's not like you've got a huge, because I mean, my background's in the grocery industry, and we used to sell tons of milk, and sometimes it, you know, we would make sure we ordered maybe more than we could sell because we'd rather have it on the shelf, even if it got a little old, or if we had to throw a little bit of it out. And you're not mass producing. You're not mass producing superfoods. You're creating it on a very small scale so that it's very fresh and it has all the ingredients. And
that's right. Yeah, our top sellers are seldom older than 3 months, and yet they have 3 years of shelf life on them.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, here's a little sidebar. Javari, the inventor of the superfoods, received a call about 6 weeks ago. From a lady, she says, I have a bottle here that's 17 years old.
Wow.
Of your original Exela. Do you think it's safe to take? She had it in the freezer, not on the shelf. It was frozen all these years. And he said to her, please send it to me. I don't have any of my original blends. I would like to get it back for testing, and I will send you a brand new one for free. So the lady agreed to that. She got a fresh new bottle, and Javari got a 17-year-old bottle of his stuff back.
Huh.
He opened it up, checked it for texture, checked it for smells, checked it for taste, and there was everything fine about it. So he ate a fairly, you know, sizable dose of it, and he says, you know, that stuff is still working. It still has the kick.
Nice.
Yeah. So...
So we don't recommend that everybody save their Exela for 17 years, but if you happen to, that's good to know.
Well, yes, but the sort of thing I would suggest is this. For anybody who has any concerns about food crisis, you know, like, or I don't know what might happen, I don't know, you know, whether an earthquake comes or a riot or a... extreme weather or who knows what it is when you all of a sudden are going to be without easy access to decent food.
Mm.
Having a couple of bottles of Iridesa in the freezer and a bag of salba and a bag of hemp seed might be a wonderful, wonderful thing to happen to.
Yes, that's right. That's a really good point.
Yeah, because, you know, a bag of oatmeal, you know, you can eat it raw in a pinch for calories, and
yeah,
then a bottle of Iridesa with it to give you the you know, the vitamins and all the other stuff that you should have. You could last on that for a month.
That's right. And that's, yeah, who would need, you usually wouldn't need to last that long.
Well, hopefully not, but in case things get bad, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a great point.
So, so folks, stories. Anyway, the other story that came on that was this call I got from a lady. She called me up. She says, I just finished a bottle that expired in 2004, and so I want to replace it. And I want to tell you that I had come up with this cancer-like skin condition, and I started using the product, ate a bottle of it, and it's all clear.
Nice.
I'm good. So I'm telling her, come on, lady, you're supposed to eat it as preventive, not after.
That's right. But it's funny what motivates people to do stuff, huh?
Yes. Yeah, it's curious.
Awesome. Well, that's been great, Martin. That's certainly answered a lot of my questions about how the Exela products are produced. And it's always great to hear some success stories from people who have been using the product and all of a sudden just see some great results. If somebody wanted to talk to you specifically about some of the issues they may be facing, how could they get a hold of you?
Well, our company line is 1-866-543-3388.
And that's toll free?
Toll free. Our direct line to me, 775-299-4661.
Awesome.
The website, www.life-enthusiast.com. Check in the health education section. There's plenty of information there to learn about good lifestyles. Or check the disease information if you have a particular concern and you're wondering if there's something we can do for you.
Great. And if you want to listen to previous episodes of the Life Enthusiast Co-op podcast, you can head over to lifeenthusiast.podomatic.com. They're all archived there, over 80 of them. And there's lots of great information there, too, for your health.
Okay, so let's close it out for today.
Okay, everybody.
Thank you for listening. This is Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you.
Bye-bye, everybody.